Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's stand together. Let's take us a song book out. Let's turn to number 323. 323. We're going to sing Standing on the Promises this morning. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praise be free. Glory in the highest, I be shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, as he eternally my love's proclaimed. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. I have been now for 47 years, and they've never failed me. God has never let me down once. Amen. If he had, I'd tell you. Amen. Anybody in here want to give testimony? God let you down? Quiet. Amen. You know why? Because God won't fail you. Amen. He'll never fail you. Hallelujah. I guarantee you, if we wanted to, we could get some opportunities to, and let people share how God has not failed them. Amen. I guarantee you we'd get some answers on that one. But if we ain't got time to stand and get testimony all day, or we'd do it. Amen. But anybody got prayer requests this morning? Or if you got a praise, hey, I'm all for that. Prayer requests this morning, anybody? Okay. Okay, we need to remember to pray for Miss Charlotte this morning. She's hurt herself, strained her side, cleaning out her deep freeze. Y'all pray for her. She'll get feeling better, muscle pull. Somebody else, anybody else? I know a group room this size, we got some prayer requests. Don't be bashful, Brother Dan. All right, and he said this was called a watchman or something that they're going to, Anya was telling me. She can tell y'all later, I guess. We'll find out the details on it. But anyway, it's supposed to help him get off the blood thinners, I think is what she said. So pray for him on that. There you go. Well, praise God. Amen. And Grant stuck that up there for you. There you go. Amen. Blessings all the way around. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? Got it? Yes. That's a big shirt. Well, I'm gonna brag too. Then if you're gonna brag, I'm gonna brag. I got a blessing too. I don't own a piece of land anymore. We sold it, but I own the mineral rights in Arkansas. And I got a $500 check in the mail from Atlanta Exploration. They're gonna drill on that land. So y'all pray we hit a gusher. Y'all pray we hit a gusher. I guarantee you, I'll donate all kinds of things to the Lord. Pray we hit a gusher anyway. But God's good. God bless, and God will take care of you. Amen. Anything else before we go to the Lord in prayer this morning? Richard, y'all got anything this morning? Prayer request or anything? Okay. All right, good to see y'all. Amen. All right, well, let's just pray for one another. I know we've got things we probably hadn't mentioned, but we've all got things. We've all got people on our heart. We've all been dealing with troubles because life is full of troubles, and we need the Lord's help through it all. So let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. And you give this morning as we pass off and play. You give. Remember, it takes money to make this thing work. So we need to give to the Lord's work this morning. Robert, lead us in a word of prayer. Yes. Amen. You can be seated. All right, turn to 491. 491, a shelter in the time of storm.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever is there, shelter in the time of storm.
Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus, the soldiers of the cross. If I be royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every bow is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, God's prophet, God obey. For to the mighty conflict in this glorious day, we that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise to danger and strength to strength the foes. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, he cannot trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and march in unto prayer. Where duty calls for danger, we never sought to declare.
Praise God. Let's sing one more. Turn to 477 with me. 477. One of my favorite songs in the book, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, All Other Ground is Sinking Sand.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His only covenant of his blood, support me in the whelming flood. And all around my sinking grave, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, long let the felon weep for the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to look this morning at 12 verses, and I want to help you this morning. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to encourage you in the Lord. I want to encourage you not to give up. I want to encourage you this morning not to let the devil distract you and pull you aside from walking with God. I don't want to see the devil ruin and wreck anybody in this room. Because, listen, and hear what I'm saying, because I know some of you got other things going through your head right now. The devil wants to ruin you. Can I be honest with you? The devil, he has got you in his crosshairs, and you are his enemy, and he hates you, and he would destroy you if he could. Now, he's going to try to deceive you. He's going to try to lure you away from the Lord. He's going to try to get you to think that, you know, you deserve better than what God has given you. He's going to try his best to draw you into things that, you know, God wouldn't have you to deal with or have anything to do with. He's going to try his best. And when we find ourselves this morning, I'm just going to share with you, because I know we got ministers this morning. We got people who haven't been here every Sunday. We are in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul, he has started the church in Corinth. It's in the Mediterranean, it's in the Middle East. It's a Gentile church. Which are non-Jews, in the church is mostly made up of non-Jews who came out of pagan temple worship. Okay? And when I say pagan temple worship, that is worshiping false gods, that is doing occult practices, that is giving themselves over to the flesh, to do the works of the flesh, and it's very, 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 very seedy things they did, I'll put it that way. And many of these people have been saved out of a life of being raised up, going to pagan temples where there are sexual things of sexual nature, there are all kinds of gods and goddesses to worship and to offer meat to and blood sacrifices and different kinds of sacrifices. These people have been brought up with their whole life, and so they're used to it, and they come out of that, and Paul addressed in chapter 8 the fact that meat that had been offered to sacrifice to these idols was, even though a Christian could eat it, because we know that an idol doesn't have any power, it's just a rock, we know that they're not real, it's just something that people have given power to because they bow down to it, but the Christian knows that rock, that statue, hasn't got no power over a piece of meat. Could we eat it and be just fine? Sure. But Paul has said in chapter 8, because some of these are weak believers, they haven't been in Christ long, and they look back at that pagan temple and they feel that superstition because that was what they were in their whole life, and that they see a Christian not eating that, they go, oh my goodness, how can they do that? And it could destroy their faith. Okay? And Paul talked about it in chapter 9, which talked about rights as an apostle, and he could expect the church to take care of his needs, his financial needs. If he had a wife, he could take care of her as well. And that he had all these rights. He said, but you know, I don't want anybody to take the glory that I'm getting serving God, and he's working with his own hands and paying his own way. And he said, I don't want any of y'all to get the glory of that. So I'm just going to forbear that, and I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing. But I want you to know that you should take care of your ministers. But he's saying, I'll bypass my rights in order to more people to get saved. Okay? And he goes right from that. I want you to look there in chapter 9. We'll look at the last four verses there. Read those so that you get a little understanding as we go into chapter 10. He says, know ye not that they which run a race run all. He's comparing the Christian life to the Olympic Games. Okay? And he said, and everyone that striveth for the mastery is tempered. In other words, everybody who wants to win is going to take care of themselves, and they're going to make sure that they don't indulge themselves in things that they shouldn't, because, yeah, you can't be a tip-top athlete and eat Pizza Hut and drink milkshakes all day long. You gotta discipline yourself. And Paul is comparing that, and he's saying, listen, you can't be a good follower of Christ and dabble out in the temple and fool around with them people doing things you used to. You can't live the way you used to live and follow Christ. You have to discipline yourself. And so he said, he said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, they used to make a crown out of parsley. That don't last very long. It ain't quite like a gold medal, okay? It wilts pretty quick. He said it's a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. He said what God's going to give to us will last forever. He said, I therefore shall run, not uncertainly. I'm not just running like an idiot running down the road. I got something I'm doing. I'm going somewhere. He said, I'll fight, not as one that beateth the air. He said, I'm not shadow boxing, man. I'm in a fight. I'm throwing licks. I'm hitting the devil right square between the eyes. I'm serving God here. He said, but I keep under my body. In other words, my body doesn't rule my spirit. My flesh doesn't take over and run the show in my life. I have to tell my flesh to hush. I have to slap my flesh and tell it, no. By the way, did you know that it would do you more good to learn that two-letter word than to learn all the Latin, Greek, and Hebrew in the world? Just to learn the word no in your life, to be able to say to yourself, no. That's more value to you than learn all the languages of the world. Just to learn that one two-letter word, no, and because it'll save you so much grief in life. And he said, I'll keep my body under. I'll bring it into subjection. My body's going to obey me. I'm not going to let my body drag me into sin constantly because I'm weak. I got to keep it under control. He said, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We talked last week about two ships. One that was fully loaded with a crew, and another that's fully loaded but has no crew, nothing. Turn them both loose. One of them's going to make the destination. The other's going to be shipwrecked. And when we try to make it through this Christian life, without going church faithfully, without Bible faithfully, without being prayer faithfully, we are like a ship without a captain, without a crew. We're just sailing aimlessly, and we're going to wind up. Our life's going to be a shipwreck. That does not mean you go to hell if you're a Christian and you do that. But that means your life is going to be a mess because God's not leading it. God's not directing it, and it's going to be a mess. And God does not want you to live your life in such a manner because you bring shame upon the cause of Christ because you're supposed to represent him. Just like a child. Listen to me. I've got a little girl standing up here on the front pier. That's my little girl. don't know, I'm an old man, but I got a little girl, amen. Praise God. She'll represent me the rest of her life because she's my daughter. And I want her to be a good girl. I don't want her to be a bad girl. I want her to turn out right. I want her to be an example of a pastor's daughter. I do. I want her to be a good girl. Okay? So it matters how we represent our parents. And it matters because God is our Heavenly Father. If we're a child of God, then we're to represent him well. It matters how we live. Not whether or not we go to heaven, because we don't go to heaven based on how we live. What matters is our impact in this world, our testimony to other people. All right, and it matters to God. So as we get into chapter 10 this morning, and I'm going to hurry because I've already burned up half the message. So, and we got a long way to go, so y'all buckle up, amen? All right, so we're going to get right into it. I'm not going to read all 12 verses. We're going to read as we go. Verse 1 here, Paul says, moreover, brethren. So besides all he just said, he said, I would not have that you should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, let me just say this. I would not have you, brethren, that you should be ignorant. People take that as an insult. Ignorance does not mean, that's not an insult. That just means I would just not have you that you don't understand or don't know. That's what Paul is saying. I don't want you to miss what I'm about to say. Now, what are you saying, Paul? He said, how that all our fathers, that's all those people, ancestors, how they were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And everybody went, huh? Baptized unto Moses? What in the world does that mean? That's pretty easy. I'm going to explain to you real quick. Being baptized unto Moses does not mean that Moses died for their sins, was their Savior. To Moses, that's not what that means. I'll explain some things to you. Moses is a picture, okay? In a lot of ways, Moses pictures Jesus, okay? Let me explain to you. The Israelites, they had come down, they were living in the land of Goshen, and God was blessing them because of Joseph, because of the Pharaoh blessed them and all that. Well, then there arose a Pharaoh sometime years later that didn't know Joseph, and he saw this great nation living over there. And he said, them people are so many of them, they could overthrow us. We're going to make slaves out of them, and we're going to have them build all our buildings and all our stuff. So they made slaves out of the Israelites, and they were slaves in Egypt, okay? They were in bondage in Egypt, just like you and I at one time were in bondage to sin, all right? And Satan, you and every one of us in here at one time were in bondage to Satan and sin, all right? So they were brought out of Egypt. We talked about this in Sunday school, the blood over the door and all that. They were brought out of Egypt. They were delivered, just like all of those who are saved, all the redeemed are delivered by the almighty grace of God. All them Israelites were delivered, just like we were. Almighty God reached and got them, just like he reached and got you and me, and brought us out of the house of bondage. And what did they do? They got to and by the way, I don't know if you know this, remember this or not, but God told them to go borrow jewels and gold and all kinds of things from the Egyptians before they left. God didn't just save them out of there. God gave them some treasure to take with them. All right? But they got to the Red Sea, and they run out of real estate. And they look back, and they see a great big dust cloud coming up behind them. They said, uh-oh. Pharaoh changed his mind. He said, come kill us all. How many of y'all know the story? Y'all know the Ten Commandments story? Okay. For those who don't know the story, that's all right. I'm going to tell you. And Moses, following the commandment of God, lifted up his staff, and the Bible said that the water parted, and it stood up as a heap on either side, and the ground, God dried the ground up, and the Israelites, that whole nation, walked between the waters on dry ground to the other side. Now, when they took off walking, listen, they made a choice. We're not going to stay in Egypt. We're going with you. Moses, you are our leader. We are associating ourselves with you as our leader. Pharaoh is no longer our boss. Okay? That is what baptism is. I want you to understand what baptism is. Baptism, when I baptize somebody in this baptistry, Jackie, I baptized you in here. When I baptized you, I said, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, buried together with him in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Now, what was I doing? I was associating yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. I explain that like a policeman. If you walk into a grocery store and he's standing there paying for his bread and his milk and things, and he's dressed in clothes like I got on, or blue jeans or overalls or whatever, he ain't got on the policeman uniform. You don't know that's a cop unless you know in person. But if he has his uniform on, he's associated himself with the police department, and you know that he's a police officer. Well, just like that, when we get baptized, we're associating ourselves publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not salvation. We got saved when we believed and trusted that he paid our sin debt. But we associate ourselves with him. All right? So when they decided, hey, we're going that way across this dry ground between these waters behind Moses, we are associating ourselves with Moses. And the Bible said they were all baptized unto Moses, not into Moses, but unto him. In other words, hand in hand, I'm going with you. Okay? In the cloud, God followed them with a cloud over top of them. And the Bible said, and in the sea. So they were baptized through water without actually getting wet. They were covered on all sides with water. Okay? So they trusted him enough to follow him on dry ground across the seabed, leaving behind the bondage of Egypt. And they chose to follow him rather than to be slaves to the Egyptians. The Bible has many types in the Old Testament that foreshadow things come in the New Testament. They got across there, they got over another place, they were thirsty, they came to the Rock of Horeb. The Rock of Horeb is this great big rock, it's in Saudi Arabia now. Okay? It's a huge, tall rock. And even today, if some way we can drive over there, or fly over there, sail over there, however we got there, if you were to get there and walk up there and look, this huge rock, and right down the middle of it is a split. And right below, I mean, in the middle of nowhere, there's no ocean, there's no river. Right in the middle of the desert, you can see where the water has carved out the rocks, a gush of water, not a trickle, but a gush of water, because it was millions of Jews, and they got them enough water to feed them and all their flocks and everything else. So that rock still stands there today as a testimony to what God did. God poured water out of that rock. Amen. Now, what is the significance of that? Well, that rock is Christ. Amen. That rock pictures Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. All right? Let's look a little further in our text. All right? The Bible said there, and they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they did all eat that same spiritual meat, and they did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Again, that rock that they're talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this may sound confusing. You say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus died on the cross years later and later. Yes, but you understand, he's the Son of God. Amen? We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and they've always been and always will be. Jesus wasn't hid somewhere. Jesus was right there in the thick of things in the Old Testament. He just wasn't in a body on earth. Amen? But everything God the Father did, God the Son's right there with him. Amen? So, I'm rambling. I ain't even got into the message. I got to get into this message. Now, I want you to understand that there are a lot of things in the Old Testament that pictures what happened in the New Testament. All right? And the picture, that rock of Horeb, again, the first time when they went up to it, how did they get the water out of it? God told Moses. He said, you walk up there and you take that rod and you strike that. And when he struck that rock, water started gushing out of it. What's the significance? Striking the rock, that's the name of Jesus on the cross. And out of him came the water of life. Amen? All right. Now that second time they approached that rock, later on, and God told him, go up there, then he said, strike the rock. No. What did he tell you to do? He said, speak to it. Right? Now, what's the significance of that? Well, listen, when I came to Jesus Christ, he was crucified for me, amen, and I believed on him as my Savior, but when I come back to him, he's not has to be crucified again for me. He was only crucified once for me. So when I come back to him, or when I meet with him, I simply speak to him, amen. That's one of the pictures.
Moses got angry at the children of Israel, and he said, he got mad, and he took the rock, and he struck that rock again, and God poured the water out, but you know what? Because Moses didn't obey, there was a penalty. Moses didn't get to go in the promised land. God killed Moses on Mount Nebo. He told Moses, you're about to die, son. You're going to die right here. And Moses was in his full, he had full strength. He was a strong man when he died. I'm going to get into the message now, all right? All right, verse 3 and 4. And they did eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink. What in the world are we talking about? It means they believed. They all drew. The Bible says that they drew, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Take your Bible, if you got it there in your lap, and turn to John 6. We're going to turn to quite a few places this morning because we're going to follow these things through the Old Testament. We're going to go back to the New Testament. We're going to flip back and forth. All right. So your reference is spiritual meat and spiritual drink. In John 6, 24 through 33, Jesus had fed the people, and the Bible said, and when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, because he fed them the day before, they took shipping. That means they got in a boat, and they came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, so sheepishly, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? How'd you get over here? Like they wasn't looking for him. They act like they just happened to find him there. That's kind of funny, because they were hungry. They said, hey, he fed us yesterday. I reckon he got some more food. Let's go find him. And then when they showed up, it's like, oh, funny, it's meeting you here. Yeah. But, you know, you can't fool Jesus, amen. And Jesus answered him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Y'all just coming to get some food. You want physical food. You just want a meal. Y'all looking for welfare. And he said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath the Father sealed. Well, what does he say? He says, labor for the meat which endureth everlasting life. He's talking about spiritual food. He's not talking about meat and potatoes. He's talking about the truth of God. He's talking about the bread of life, the real, what God has given us. Amen. The truth of God is what he's referring to, and he is the truth. I am the way and the life. He inhabited a body, but he is God in the flesh. And he tells them, don't pain me across the Sea of Galilee trying to find me to get fed. Listen, he said, don't do that. Don't paddle across the water trying to find a meal. He said, listen, if you're coming for the meat from heaven, hey, come on. But don't paddle all the way over here to get another biscuit and some fish. Listen, he said, I'm what you need. I have what you need. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus said, listen, it's not what I can give you, it's what I am. Amen? I can give, it's not the physical food I give you, it's the life that I give you. You're looking at the physical. I'm talking about the spiritual. What had he done? He had broke a fine loaf and two fishes and fed 12,000 people. Okay? That's a big deal. I say 12,000. It could be more than that because it was 5,000 men, but they had wives and they had children. Who knows how many? It could be 15,000, 20,000. But he had done a miracle. Why? He was showing he was God. Because the Jews require miracles to see that this is God working. And Jesus had done it, but they couldn't see that. That wasn't what they wanted. They didn't want God. They wanted to be fed. And Jesus told them, he said, listen, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. You've got to want me, not just what I can do for you. You should want me, a relationship with me. I'm skipping because I got run out of time. And he told them that. He told them, he said, listen, it ain't about this physical stuff. You need the food that comes from heaven. In other words, again, the word of God, the truth that will save your soul. That's what you need. And he said,
He was trying to tell them that. And in verse 66 in that chapter says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They had followed him up to that point. But when he started talking spiritual matters and trusting him and believing on him as being God and being able to save their soul, they didn't want a part of that. That's when they walked away. Now look at verse 5 in our text this morning. The Bible talking about these Israelites crossing the Red Sea. The Bible says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. He wasn't happy with them, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Instead of following God, something drew them aside. Something caused them to not please God anymore. Something caused them to fall down. What happened? Well, there was no evidence of faith in some of them. They just absolutely didn't follow God at all. They just went because it was either die or let's see what happens. They had followed the religious crowd. Listen to me. There's a lot of people like that. They followed religious crowd, but they suddenly found themselves with no faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Again, not what he can do for them, but him. Amen. It's not about what God could do for you. It's about the relationship that you have with him. It's about him being your father and you being his child and you loving him and you trusting him. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul said, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Again, that, not that you're just blind and walking along behind other Christians and going where they go, but you know that you're going somewhere too. You got a purpose. You're headed for heaven, but you trust in Christ. You can't get to heaven following somebody else's faith. Amen? You're not going to get there on mom and daddy's faith. You say, oh, my mom was a preacher. Oh, my grandpa was a preacher now. Okay, my grandpa was, but yeah, but that won't get you to heaven. It makes no difference who did what. It's up to you. Everybody's going to stand for their own self. Everybody's going to have to answer for their own, what they've done with Jesus. And I ask you this morning, I don't have an invitation, Tom, but what have you done with Jesus? Who is he to you? Is he your Savior? Because if he's not, he'll be your judge. I can assure you that. He tells us to prove your own self. Hey, let's check yourself out. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Don't you know if you're saved or not? Now, he gets into the meat of this, and I'm going to hurry. I got about 15 minutes. I don't know if I can make it or not. We may have to go a little longer, but we'll try. Verse 6. Now, these things, Paul says, were our examples to the extent we should not lust after evil things, and they also lusted. So, again, Paul's going to go back through the things that lure people away from God. He's warning them. He's addressing, I think he's probably talking. So he's dealt with the Gentiles with their pagan temples. Now he's turned to the Jews, and he's teaching them. All right? So he says, these are our examples to the extent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Numbers 11, verse 4, and then we'll be looking at verses 31 through 34. I know you haven't got time to turn there, so let's listen. Let me read to you. All right? This is after they're already across the Red Sea. The Bible said, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. That means there was people in that crowd that weren't in there for the right reason. There was people in their crowd whose hearts were not right with God. There was people in that crowd who again, were not dedicated to the Lord. And the Bible said they fell a-lusting. So they started lusting after some things. Now, what were they lusting after? Well, I'll tell you what they were lusting after. God gave them manna in the wilderness. Some of y'all may not know what manna is, but manna was bread from heaven. The Bible said it tasted like honey and wafers. I can't remember what it said. I think it said honey and wafers is what it said it tasted like. So they gather it and they make bread out of it. And but God said you only take enough for today. And what they had, sometimes they take it, they try to keep it for the next day and wake up and be worms. God said it's only good for today. That's just like, you know what? That's just like when you read your Bible. What you read today ain't good for tomorrow. It's good for today. Tomorrow you need to get and read some more Bible. Amen. So, again, they've been eating this manna, and they got sick of the manna. Even though it's food God rained down from heaven, they got sick of it, and they said, and here, listen to what they said. The children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were, a day's journey on this side, and as it were, a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, round about these millions of Jews. Listen, as it were, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. That means twice as long as my arm. Twice as long as my arm, so this high, piles of quails. Now, me and my papa used to hunt quails. We never got that many. We might have got 10 if we was lucky. But I'm going to tell you, you talk about quails, man, piles and piles and piles of quails. And the Bible says, and the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. That's a great big old winnowing thing that they would toss grain in, a huge thing. And so 10 of them, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp, and they were just giddy as they could be, plucking quail feathers everywhere, gutting quails and everything. And the Bible said, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, arrow was chewed, when everybody chewed up, the Bible said the wrath of God was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague, and he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Again, what are they doing with so long? God provided for them, and he not only provided for them, he provided for them a food came from heaven that they couldn't get on earth that tasted delicious, and he gave them a picture of spiritual things in it, and they got to grow up and said, we're sick of this stuff. Good night, we can't stand this stuff. And so God, and they said, well, why won't God give us that? Where's all this funky we have to say? Okay, you want flesh? You ain't happy with what I give you? You don't like what I give you? You think what I give you ain't good enough? It's subpar? I'll give you what you want. I'll give it to you until it's running out your ears and your nose. And that's what he did. Listen, sometimes the most painful thing in the world is getting what you want. Sometimes God will give you exactly what you want and give it to you more than you ever wanted it because you know he's going to teach you a lesson. We don't know better than God. And the devil will do anything. Listen, again, what will happen in the garden? God gave them everything in the garden. They need of it. What the devil say? Did God really say that? And I'm sure the devil was saying to them, y'all really going to eat this manna for 40 years? You really like that stuff? I'm sure the devil was whispering in their ear. Verse 7, I got to hurry. And by the way, let me finish that thought with James 1:15. They were lusting after things that they didn't have. The Bible tells us that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That's the baby of lust, is sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And that's what happened with them. God got enough of it. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Again, we're dealing with lust, we're dealing with idolatry, we're going to deal with fornication, we're going to deal with several things. Because these are the things the devil uses to pull people aside. So he told them, don't be idolaters. He said, as the people sat down to eat and rose up to play. Now, let me just put you where we're at, Exodus 32. In Exodus 32, the story is Moses has gone up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, to get the Ten Commandments. Okay? He's gone up there, and he's been up there a while. The Bible says there in verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Again, this is right after they've gone across the Red Sea. This is right after God delivered them and swallowed up in the Red Sea. The armies of Egypt were on the other side. You think they'd be shouting victory? Hallelujah, praise God. He's going to take care of us. Moses ain't been down in a while, so get up, Aaron. That's what it says, up. Make us gods. What you doing sitting down there, boy? Get up, make us some gods, because He coming back. Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, listen to the way they talked. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. We don't know where he went. Now listen to Aaron, his brother, who ought to have more sense. He's the high priest, for crying out loud. He said to him, break off your golden earrings. You know that jewelry they gave you off where you left? Break off your golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And the people break off the golden earrings, which were in the ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a golden calf, C-A-L-F. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Boy, he was confused like a termite in a yo-yo. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And listen to this. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up. Play. They got their tinker toys out and their Hot Wheels cars. They all got down on the ground and played. Got the jacks and all that. No. Can I tell you what that means? They had a feast of food, and then they turned into a nightclub after that. There was a lot of scantily clad people doing some nasty dancing. And I can tell you that's the case because the Bible says that Moses, he said there's a sound of war in the camp. Now, what do you hear when there's war going on? You hear a lot of groaning and hollering and all kinds of noises. Well, that's what he heard down there in the camp. Well, there wasn't a war going on. It was people down there, they said, pray. So we know what they were doing without saying it out loud. Okay, so, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made unto them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods of Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Quickly. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes people will get saved and they start to serve God quickly. They quit serving God. I've seen it happen dozens and dozens and dozens of times since I've been here. They don't give God enough of a chance to be willing to be obedient. Some little something goes wrong and they say, oh, I didn't know what I thought he was going to do. I'm going right back to where I was. You better be careful because the devil sure wants to get hold of you. The devil sure wants to pull you aside. He sure wants to catch you off guard and drag you back into the lust and the filth of this world because I can tell you your flesh wants that. Your flesh has grown up in a world full of lust and filth and sin, and your flesh is attracted to that. There's no denying that. Every single person who lives on this earth, their flesh is drawn that way if you let it take control. And ain't nothing new. I was telling my wife all this stuff yesterday. I was going to preach on it. She said, world ain't never been no better, has it? It sure hadn't. It ain't never been better. Amen. Except before Adam and Eve fell. That's the only time it's ever been better. Now, let me just say to you, they turned back to what they were before because that calf, that wasn't no fluke that they had a calf. That was a god that they were worshiping. That was one that they remembered. All right, verse 8, I got to hurry again. Neither let us commit fornication. Not adultery here, we're talking fornication. As some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000 people died as a result of turning aside from God and going to fornication. Which is what? That is sex between two people who are not married. Numbers 25, if you want to turn there and look at your Bible, you can. If not, just listen to me read it to you. Numbers 25, 1 through 9, the Bible said, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab." So right there next to them, they were next to Moab, the people of Moab, which came out of incest between Lot and one of his daughters. Okay, so this was a people born out of sexual perversion. And again, these daughters of Moab, well, what are they? Well, they're whores. That's the only word we got. That's what God calls it. Amen. He calls it harlotry or whoredom. And they came to the men of Israel and said, "Hey, come down and spend time with us." And so a bunch of them were drawn away and enticed to go. And they get them all worked up, and they say, "Okay, now, if you won't be with me, you're going to have to bow down to my God." It wasn't just that. You had to know who Baal Peor is. I'm not going to tell you all this because there's children in the room. Well, let me just say to you this. Everything that's associated with pornography could be found at the temple of Baal Peor because that's what was worshipped there. Okay? Women were worshipped there. And the Bible says, "And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to the gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, Slay ye every one of his men that are joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto the brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Again, they're weeping and crying because of the sin that fell upon Israel. And here comes a man with this one of them women. And he walks up with her to the place where they worship. Listen to it. Israel is to separate. They were to be a separate people away from every other people. And here they are. They're doing the very thing they're told not to. And he's coming in with a woman who has nothing to do with Israel. He brings her right up to the door of the congregation of the temple. And the Bible said, "And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it. He rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people died because of these people's sin. God's not for fornication. God's not for sexual wickedness. God doesn't close his eyes and not see it. But let me tell you something. You think in a Christian church, that wouldn't even be an issue. But the truth of it is, we live in a world today where it's sexual. We live in a world that is full of filth, and it's full of temptation, and people got past, and sometimes the devil will use their past against them and trip them up and knock them down. And I tell you right now, I don't know a man alive today who either hasn't struggled with it or isn't struggling with it now. Because everywhere you turn, click, click, there it is. It's easy. Easy to find. God help us. We live in a world full of sin and temptation and wickedness. And I'm going to tell you right now, we better pay attention to what God said. God ain't for this mess. You want to wreck your life? Just keep on going because it will wreck your life. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Well, that takes us to Numbers 21, 1 through 9. So, They tempted God, they tempted Christ, and were destroyed of serpents. And when the king Arad of the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard that Israel came by the way of the spies, he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So God's given them victories, and now they got to walk a long way, and they got tired. There was some wrath. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. For our soul loatheth this light bread. And they weren't talking about Wonder Bread, neither. They say light bread. He was talking about the manna. Amen. I know down here we call that light bread, but listen, they were talking about the manna. They despised the manna. And by the way, the manna is what? It's bread from heaven. Who else is bread from heaven? Jesus. He's the bread of life. Amen. They despised the manna just like people despise Jesus today. And the Lord sent fiery serpents from among the people, and they bit the people. And much of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned. We've spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord. And they take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. By the way, that's a picture of Jesus. Amen. Why would a serpent on a pole be a picture of Jesus? Because that serpent represents sin, and Jesus became sin for us, that he might be, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And all the other people would look up at that serpent on the pole. If they looked at it, they'd live. Amen. And listen to me. What we must do is look to Christ and live. Amen. He is our salvation. The Bible says, again, he made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Verse 10, we're almost there, y'all. Neither were we, Paul said. He's talking to the church of Corinth. Y'all are complaining about God. Y'all are complaining about this, complaining about that. He said, don't murmur, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. You remember those people that were saying Paul wasn't an apostle, and they were big shots, and they were talking down to Paul? That's what he's addressing right here. Let me tell you what happened. I'm going to make this brief because I'm trying to wrap this up. This is the story of Korah. They're out there, they're going through the wilderness, and you got this prominent fellow named Korah. And he doesn't feel like he's got a fair shake in life. And he feels like he ought to be. Him and some more fellas, they decided, you know what? Moses and Aaron got too much stuff on their plate. We need to be high priests too, so we can help them out, take some of this load off of them. So again, they go to Moses and they're like, you know, you need to let us have some. They wouldn't stop. So Moses said, I'll tell you what we'll do. Everybody get an incense pan. 250 of y'all want to do this. So y'all get an incense pan, and Aaron will get his incense pan. Tomorrow, y'all bring all your incense before the Lord. We'll see if it's needed. Well, next day rolled around. God said, hey, everybody need to get back away from their tents right now. Y'all back away from their tents and call all their people out there. So all their wives and their children, everybody stood up. These men through the tents. They said, we don't do it our way. Hear what God said. We don't take over and do things our way. God said, call them all out in front of their tents. When they did, he told everybody to get back. God opened the ground up and it swallowed them and closed up on them. The Bible says, here's how it went. Verse 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Beside them that died about the matter of Korah. I get the impression from this. When we start following God, don't
again that these are dead end roads that we don't need to go down. What do we do? Please forgive me. Lord, I have listened to this world. I have followed this world and its ideology. I've listened to that TV. I've listened to that movie theater. I've listened to that phone. I've listened to the music today. And all these things are telling me to go my own way and do my own thing and follow this world and its system and its fleshly mind. And God, forgive me. That's what folks need to do. If we want God's blessing in our life, if we want God to bless our church, if we want God to bless our marriage, if we want God to bless our children, our home, our family, we need to repent of the way that the devil is pulling us away from God. Today is an excellent time to get things right between you and God. Let me share with you the last two verses, and I'm closing this up. Paul said, now all these things happened unto them for examples. It's an example for us. They are written for our admonition, in other words, to correct us, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Can you not understand we're living in the last days? Y'all understand that? Listen, we ain't far from Jesus coming. I mean, this thing can't keep going like it's going for very much longer. This world is coming unwound. This Western world we live in is in its last days. All anybody's got to do is look at what's going on in our government and see that. This thing is falling apart. And it ain't never going to be fixed. God help us. We need to be looking for Christ to return. And we need to be looking around and shoring up our lives. Amen? We need to examine ourselves as the Bible says. Examine yourselves. Take a look. We're good at looking at other people. We're good at pointing the fingers and saying, that's what's wrong with you and you and you. But we're not good at going, this is what's wrong with you, fella. We need to look at man in the mirror, in the eyes, and say, you got some problems, and we need to get fixed. And I can tell you right now, you can't fix them. There's one place you can get them fixed. It's right now. Get down on your knees and take them to God and quit crying. Let me tell you. Thank you, Lord, for this time of invitation. And Father, I pray this morning for the folks that are here. I pray, Lord, for those who have heard the message. And I pray, Spirit of God, that you work in hearts. Lord, that you do a work in us. Father, you draw people to salvation. You draw people to repentance. You draw them to rededication. Father God, do a work in our life. Holy Spirit of God, work in us now and do what we cannot do. Draw people to Christ. Draw people, Lord, to restoration of things, Lord, that things might be made right in their lives. Father God, we just pray now that you do a work in a mighty way, and we'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 162, let's stand together. Lord, I'm coming home. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Lord, I'm coming home.